right, it's 10 minutes after 9. You've got it on KHUM, and our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues. This week, we've been dealing with the violence of poverty, and joining me here in the studio is Betty Chin. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to talk with you. You were our keynote speaker last year.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, yeah.
It was very inspiring. So we've been talking about poverty all week long, and you're really on the front lines here in Humboldt County dealing with helping people on the bottom rung of the economic ladder.
Yes.
And so I guess let's start with how you got started doing this.
Well, I start beginning because I want to appreciate my freedom for living in the United States, and the people are so kindness. Doesn't mean they get me $1 million, just their smile, kindness. And then affect me so much. And I want to do something, kindness to other people who need it. So that's how I started, yeah.
And how long have you been doing this here?
32 years.
Wow. That's
yes,
a long time.
It's been a long time. But I don't feel, I feel like yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I am, you know, what is really a gift, what I had to do that kind of work. But it's a gift for me to see the people change their life too.
Let's talk about that, because there are people who see people at the bottom and kind of scoff and say, why don't they help themselves? Why don't they pull themselves up by their bootstraps? But the thing is, when you're at the bottom, that's very difficult.
It's very hard, and they basically gave up the hope of the time for the leave, just whatever time they had, and then that's where they're gonna go. And they had no support of being labeled by society, and then less than you and me, and that's not truth. So when they find somebody there, lead a hand on them, reach out to them, and hold them up, and then they want to make a better life for themselves.
Absolutely. And that is the thing. People, once you are past that point where you've lost hope, it's very hard to come back from that, and I just appreciate the fact that you recognize people at the bottom of the economic ladder as human beings, because unfortunately some people don't see them as human.
No, that's really unfair, to me. I look at that way, and then we had to get them a chance. They don't know, because some have been for example, I take a 34 years old man to the work, and he used to live in Paco Marsh. And in all his life, he's been homeless since he was a kid.
Wow.
This is the first time ever he got a job. And first time ever he found out he had ability to earn a paycheck. See, I can help him. I love them. I help them. I feed them. But they had identified their ability, how much they can help themselves. And that's what the hope comes from. When they find out they can help themselves, they rebuild the hope, make a better life for themselves.
This is what I like hearing, because you hear from, you get pushback from the other side saying that you're just enabling these people to be poor. You're just giving them a handout, and they're just going to stay there forever.
No, and actually, I am very straight, and I tell them the truth. That's what the beauty about me and the community and the client and all the client, because we build our trust, and that's important, trust. So we trust each other. One, they trust me when I tell them, and honest with them, say you gotta do this, and they do. And food is not the really priority for them. Most important to them, the personal connection. So when we had a personal connection, they know I had no hidden agenda, nothing. Honest with them, truthful with them, and they really open up themselves for you. And then they learn a different lifestyle for them. And all these abuse lifestyle, drug lifestyle, they change because they see a different world from them. Before, they never see it. Just like this man, they never know how they even though she had the ability to earn a paycheck. But now they do. But they found out, I mean, so right now, 6 months later, still holding a job. That is something they had to find it themselves. And but we are here. We can, I cannot change their life, but we can here to guide them, to change their life and support them, good or bad. When they fail, that's okay. Stand up. Try again. So that's what am I doing every day.
Wow. And it's great hearing that story because, you know, to have someone who has been, you know, down for so long, been homeless for so long, that has been their lifestyle for their pretty much their whole life. And to be able to turn a corner at that point, that gives hope.
Yeah, yes, yes. And then because they, like I say, most of the people, they're so at least 10 or 15 years been down and out. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have any benefit. We help them get them benefit. For example, this morning, the guy yells at the shelter so loud. He's a newcomer in there. But that's the lifestyle. I said, you don't need to yell anymore. No noise there. But because they leave the world with so much noise and the water noise and the car noise. And you can use a low voice. Use a different language. And this morning, he said, you are right, Miss Betty. I don't have to yell anymore. So that's how they change. Otherwise, they all yell and screaming and get in a fight. That's what happened. So now, that's the place they learn to change their life. And then, but they just like a little kid. He's like a 50-year-old man. But you cannot tell him like a 50-year-old man. Just like a young kid teaching step by step. And then they will be okay.
So the thing is, when someone is, you know, down and out, and homeless. And you're saying, why doesn't this person have a job? It is almost impossible to get a job when you don't have a home address.
That's one fence. Another fence, they don't have teeth. How, right. Are you going to hire somebody who had no teeth? Are you going to hire somebody smell?
Right.
So that's what we do. And we take them to see a dentist, take care of the teeth. Appearances is so important.
Yes,
when you interview, see somebody doesn't have a teeth, you want to hire them? No. So we do this all this work before they go out look for a job. And they had ability to work. They had all different type of job. And I had a guy who was on the street for 3 years. Right now, he's a lumber, very high-skilled carpenter. He wow. worked for a construction company right now. And he started building houses. But you had to get them ready to work, get them look good about themselves, rebuild their self-esteem, encourage them, dress up nicely and clean and shower. And, you know, that's the way you can get a job. But before that, you can, who wouldn't hire him? Nobody.
That's the thing. And that's why what you do is so important, because it's such a trap once you are down there. If you don't have the money to get some clean clothes or to clean yourself or to fix your teeth or to, you know, get your hair
cut. Yeah.
I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, you're going to look like a mess. Who is going to hire you?
Yep.
So how do you get out of the trap?
Yeah, that's the reason our shipping container village doing that to get ready for them and ready to mm-hmm. reworld. The first step for them is return to society. And then that way they have more build a self-esteem for them. Trust, self-trust. They can do it. So there's a lot of work there for them to go out there. And I for that reason, I had to thank you a lot of local business. They opened an opportunity for our client. But if they're not ready, I'm not referred to go yet. When they're ready, I do. And we had quite a few businesses always had a job opening for me, for our client. That's a very, very wonderful. That's what the community. And then like what you asked me, why are you doing this? That's the reason. Look at the kindness from a community. Made the difference. And then, but the people had to know, to understand, homeless is not less than you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is that most of us are a few lost paychecks away from that same position. You know, unless you are independently wealthy, and most of us aren't, you know, we rely on this regular income to keep our lifestyle going. And, you know, all it takes is, you know, a lost paycheck, an illness, something going wrong, and this, you can be in the, in this trap. I'm sure you've got lots of stories. A lot of people probably ask, how do people get in this position?
Well, like you say, the people cut a paycheck away, and then that can be homeless. Mm-hmm. But like some is been general. I have four generations being homeless.
Wow.
Yes. And then, and that's what happened because they, nobody guide them and support them all this time. And then some is psychological, mentally ill. And that's an, another really major problem there. In Humboldt County, we had economy, a drug, and mental health. All three layer, let them be homeless. That's what happened. And then even you mentally ill and come to us, we help them connect with the mental health, with the county, and then help them step by step. Maybe they cannot function well, but they're in a better life for themselves. And I had somebody never been a shelter since he was 17 years old. Now it's in the late 30s and early 40s.
Wow.
When they give up the hope, really that much for them to look forward for it.
Now, you've been doing this, you've been saying, for like 30-some-odd years.
32 years,
32
yeah.
years. But you probably have had several people who have come to you once their lives have turned around. And that's got to be amazingly gratifying.
Well, I do. And then, I like I say, it's one guy homeless for many years. Right now, he's a very skilled, built a house in Fortuna. And then I take homeless kid to school, go to school every morning. I had, they all go through 4 years university and out of the area because I don't want to stay in Humboldt County. They had detached their homeless lifestyle. I had kid go, I got a PhD, and I had kid go a CPA. I had even had a kid go to medical school.
Wow.
Yeah, I had close to 300 kids go to 4 years, been through 4 years of university. And then I had a guy open a business and then come back and tell us. And first, he's homeless. I helped him get a job in a clean up the people's yard. I get him a green machine way back, a few years ago. Right now, he opened a business.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and then a lot of goodness. But again, anybody out of my hand, I don't want to contact me anymore. When the people help me out, I help them out. They're successful. I don't want to remember me anymore because I don't want myself to remind them the past. We don't live in the past. We live in the future. If they have something they want to share with me, they're welcome to contact me. Other than that, I tell them go on their life.
That's really
yeah.
very selfless.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't because uh-huh. They don't feel like I owe me something uh-huh. or they're being homeless in the past. This is the past. We live the future and today. And then whatever happened in the past, let go.
That's terrific. And those numbers you mentioned are amazing. The amount of people who have moved on, gone to college, opened businesses. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, and another thing I want to mention about our container ship, the shipping container village, and I call it uh-huh. the village there. We serve 107 people from a Pago Marsh.
Right.
In there. We have 41 people got the permanent housing, 46 people got jobs.
That's fantastic.
From a Pago Marsh.
That is wonderful.
See, I mean, it's a community made to work together. And the major important things come to the own will when it change. Less than 3 months.
That's
it. That's all they need. 90 days, that's all they need. They know somebody to support them. I had a woman staying with us for 90 days and got appointment housing, got a job, and he even buy a car, go to work. Friend about a year ago, less than a year ago, last May 2nd, still live for Pago Marsh.
Wow.
Just give them a chance. Give them a chance to understand homeless can be happen to anybody. And then some, you know, some situation, maybe some doesn't want to change. Some people.
Sure.
Definitely doesn't want to change. Want to be leaving the street. That I cannot. I am not change their life. I just want to help them, lead them up. So if anybody want to better change for their life, we are there. We have all different level way to help them out. Just come to us, yeah.
Now, what you mentioned is really good, because there is a very, very common misconception that most people who are living this lifestyle, it's a chosen lifestyle. And while, yes, there are some that you can point to, the vast majority of people who are living this way really don't want to. Vast majority.
Yeah, even a mental health issue, people, we had somebody say, he has major mental health issue, and when they live in our container, like our unit, not long ago, the bad weather, and middle of the night, and he came out say, Miss Betty, I'm glad I'm not out there. I'm glad I don't get wet anymore. I'm dry and inside. Had a major illness, can say they can feel that way. So sometimes it's not really the choice, but when they are not there, they have no choice.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, your organization and where you started and where you are now and what's next.
Well, like a beginning, because I thank you my freedom living here, and then also the community. You need a community kindness. And then after the years and years, and I found out we had a lot of homeless people out there, nobody knows, and from serving one family of the two kids with their father and mother, living in a kind of Montgomery Ward parking lot, and now it's close to 300-400 people a day. And I'm out there fill the gap. I don't have planned anything. When I out there every day, I see what the gap. Like a beginning, when I feed them, I know the food is not the priority. The priority, they want to change themselves for a better life. So we had a center. We had an education them how to get a job, resume, and GED class. Had a physical address, they can apply for the job. And so that kind of, but after that, I feel the gap for the rebuild the family, because our value for the family value is not that much like a years ago anymore. So I want to rebuild the family. The children need to know what the parents were. A lot of kids doesn't know my mom's boyfriend, my dad's girlfriend. But even that, I want a family. So we open up the family shelter for the family, work for welfare, the housing first model. But before they get in there, so we open that this G-Cup container village. That's the beginning. They return to society. They clean up their lifestyle, download the garbage, download the fence they don't need. They don't need a garbage dumper and garbage anymore. They don't need to collect all this stuff anymore and clean themselves in that area. 90 days, they clean themselves out. And we help them get the mental health or medical health or any help they need, idea card. And then that way they can look for a job. So I don't know what happened. Right now, I really focus on how I fill the gap.
Right.
Because I can tell you I'm out there 20-hour day, and I can feel. I go all the way from Fortuna to Crown Beach every day. So I can feel in some kind of need in that area. So I want to fill that gap. And then so we can do a lot, and I really thank you for the city. Eureka get me the location for our shelter, and also funding for that. And the center is really another level. And we just feel what I need to feel. But I feel like now I feel like my job is to tell the people about the issue, a homeless issue. Like what we're talking today.
Right.
Are they asked for to be homeless? Are they choose to be homeless? Or maybe we can understand about them. I always remember when I met President Obama in the White House in a few years ago, and then he and I walked side by side, and he asked me, Betty, how you feel walk side by side with the president in the red carpet in the White House? I turned aside, I asked him, I tell him, with all the respect to you as the president, but I can tell you, you are not less or more than homeless people to me, daily I met. And he turned around and gave me a hug, said, Betty, this is so true. Now you have the voice to speak for the homeless. Go out to talk about the homeless. Tell them about what you feel about them to help them. They don't have a voice. You do. And I don't like to do that because I don't want a Betty Chen's name out everywhere. Mm-hmm. He tell me your name no longer really belong to you, being borrowed by the homeless now. You are speak for them, good or bad. You are there for them. And they are, you are their voice. So that's why I like now, I talk about that. A lot of people talk to me, I talk. Before I in the silent, I don't want to talk about it. You know, when you do the good things, something, you don't have to tell the world. So I tell you this, I want the people to understand is this is not the Betty Chen spotlight. It's the spotlight for the homeless.
Well said. But as President Obama said, you are the voice. You are the voice for them. So what's next? You're doing such amazing work here in Humboldt County. How do we spread this throughout the nation?
It's a matter of fact, and I had a lot of people from Minnesota, Florida. They come all the way here to meet with me. And Texas, Los Angeles. And I think, again, because I'm a walker, I don't campaign for anything. My voice for the homeless. I think they find me as honest talk, and then they come here want to learn from us how we do it. And I'm really grateful for that because I think more the people attention. As a matter of fact, U.S. Secret sent an intern to us to help the homeless in January.
Really?
Yes. So the people here, what we doing in here. And right now, I feel good about it. Both city and county and helping me out and support me. And then this is, I'm a citizen, Humboldt County. Citizen is illegal. So when you got your government behind you, it's really made me feel much better, you know. And also the people understand is this is not just Betty. It's a spotlight space for the homeless.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad that you took the time to talk with us. And Betty is going to be joining us tomorrow for our healing breakfast.
Yes. You'll
be part of a wonderful panel that we're going to have set up. There is, of course, free coffee from Signature Coffee. There's delicious pastries from Ramon's. Anna Hamilton is going to be playing. And we've got as we said, a terrific panel, including Betty. And there'll be resource tables from lots of different organizations around the room.
But you know, I remember last year I've been there, and I asked myself to do a lot of healing myself, too. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was a very special event for the people there.
Thank you very much. Thank you again for coming in today.
Thank you.
You bet. This conversation, as all the conversations, have been on this Stop the Violence campaign. You will find up at KHUM.com. It'll be there all year, actually for several years. You can listen to any of these conversations at your own time, download them, and you can even go back in time several years and listen to those campaigns as well. And again, tomorrow morning, hopefully you can be there at the Healing Breakfast. Starts at 8, goes until 10. It's at the Eureka Women's Club on J Street.